When I decided to work at the Henry Street Settlement House for the summer, I'd been told that part of my job might entail navigating the Lower East Side tenement houses where our clients lived. But I'd never pictured myself leaping from rooftop to rooftop, or chasing after an escaped changeling. I thought I'd left all that behind at Blythewood. But now that's exactly what I was doing, running hell for leather, leaping over the dividing walls between rooftops. It had started that morning at Henry Street with an unexpected guest. I was leaning out my office window, trying to catch a breeze, watching a gang of boys whose damp and tattered clothing suggested they had been swimming off the piers. I envied them, even if the East River smelled, the currents were deadly, and bloated bodies occasionally bobbed to its slick, greasy surface. It would be worth it to feel cool water on my skin. I pulled the damp, limp lawn of my shirt waist away from my tightly laced corset and closed my eyes. If only I could sail out this window and wing my way over the tar paper roofs and water towers out to the river. If only I could fly. A memory of a dark-eyed boy who had carried me up into the air on his ebony wings flitted through my mind. Raven. The last time I'd seen him, he had fled from me. Sure, I saw him as a monster. But really, I had only reacted to him as I did because I had been afraid that I was one. Now I might never get a chance to tell him I'd been wrong. The memory of him was so real I could almost feel the beat of his wings stirring the stale air around me and hear the rustle of feathers. I did hear rustling. I turned around, but of course it wasn't Raven. It was a young girl, a child in stature, but perhaps really a teenager stunted by poor nutrition, in a white shirtwaist that had been much mended but was clean and pressed, and a plain brown skirt with a tattered muddy hem that hovered a few inches above the tops of her worn, scuffed boots. Instead of a hat, she wore a faded scarf tied over her hair, as many of the Jewish girls in the neighborhood did. All in all, she looked like many of the young immigrants who filled the Lower East Side tenements surrounding the settlement house. Like Tilly Cooperman, my friend who had died last year in the Triangle Fire. As an image of Tilly striding across the smoke-filled factory floor filled my head, I remembered. "Etta!" I cried. "Etta Bloom! You were at the Triangle! You're the girl Tilly saved. Yes, although she couldn't have done it without you and that strange young man." Raven. How much did Etta remember of that day? Raven leading us through the flames beneath a cloak and up onto the roof? A man in an Inverness cape shoving Tilly off the roof? What about me falling? Or Raven catching me midair and bearing me aloft on ebony wings? Or had she relegated all the events of that terrible day to the realms of nightmare? "Much was strange about that day," I said, glancing nervously at the door where Miss Corey and Miss Sharp had appeared, drawn by my crying out Etta's name, no doubt. "But I'm so glad to see you. I've thought about you, but I didn't know where to find you." A prick of guilt stung me. I had seen her name on the rolls of survivors. I could have looked for her. I should have looked for her. "I thought you were dead," Etta said simply. "I saw you fall. But a couple of days ago, I saw you walking on Ludlow Street. At first, I thought you might be a ghost. I've seen so many strange things recently, but then I followed you and saw you come here to the settlement house." She turned around and smiled shyly at Miss Sharp and Miss Corey. "It didn't seem a place for ghosts." "No, of course not," Miss Sharp said, holding out her hand to Etta. "It's a place for girls who need help. Do you need help, Etta?"
"Not me," Etta said. "It's my sister, Ruth. She's...
Etta's face crumpled and she began to shake. Miss Sharp grasped her shoulders just before she slumped to the floor. She helped Etta into a chair and snapped at Miss Corey.
"Lillian, don't just stand there. Make the girl some tea. And Ava," she turned to me, "go see if there's some bread and cheese in the soup kitchen."
"No!"
Etta roused herself to grasp my hand.
"I want you to stay. I knew when I saw you that you were the only one who could help me. That if you could come back after falling off a 10-story building, you could bring back my sister."
"How long has she been gone?" Miss Sharp asked, handing Etta a cup of tea.
"That's just it," Etta said. "She's not gone. She's just not herself anymore. And the thing that's taken her place, it's not human."